He concluded with dark satisfaction as he found the slickness on my labia. He pressed a tender kiss against my neck, just below my ear. My nerve endings crackled with awareness and my skin pebbled. "Stay," he murmured, before finally releasing me. I remained frozen where he'd left me, my body tingling with fear and something else I didn't want to acknowledge. I watched him with wide eyes as he crossed to the chest of drawers and retrieved a few items. This time he slipped them into his pocket before I could make out what he'd selected. When he approached me once again, he held a length of black cloth wrapped around his fist. I took a step back, wariness making the fine hairs on the back of my neck stand on end.
"I like watching your lovely eyes when I'm playing with you, but this will make you more aware of what I'm making you feel," he told me.
"What?" I asked faintly, but I didn't have long to wonder what he meant. He lifted the cloth to my face and pressed it over my eyes. I closed them automatically, and I felt him knot the material firmly at the back of my head. Panic spiked as soon as the darkness closed around me, and I lifted my hands to rip the blindfold away. He caught my wrists immediately, guiding them back down to my sides.
"Settle, cosita," he cooed. "This isn't going to hurt."
"I'm scared," I admitted on a shaky whisper, the words leaving me without thought.
A low rumbling sound rolled over my skin. "If I were a good man, I'd tell you not to be frightened, but I'm not a good man."
He pulled one of my hands forward, pressing my palm against his bulging erection.
"I like having you at my mercy, Samantha. I like it when you tremble and whimper for me."
"Please," I whined, trying to tug my hand away from his hard length. He held me fast.
"Just like that," he said with rough approval. "But soon you'll be begging me to touch you, not to release you."
He finally, mercifully guided my hand away from his terrifying arousal. He released my wrists and gripped my waist, lifting my body as though I weighed nothing. The dark world spun around me as he moved my body and positioned it where he wanted. My back settled onto the soft mattress, and I instantly tried to roll away, disoriented and frightened. I could hear my blood rushing in my ears, and I was very aware of the heat of his hands on my flesh. His masculine scent infused the air I desperately breathed until I thought I would drown in it. His steady grip kept me pinned to the bed. He grasped my wrists again, tugging them above my head. Cool metal snapped in place around them, a sensation that wasn't entirely unfamiliar to me. We'd trained with handcuffs at the FBI Academy. As soon as his grip left my wrists, I tried to pull my arms down to cover my exposed body. They jerked against the unyielding metal, and his hands returned to my forearms, pressing them down into the mattress.
"Don't struggle," he ordered. "You'll only bruise yourself. I'm interested to see how easily your pretty skin marks up, but not like this."
His words made my fears spike, and I twisted beneath him. His palm settled over my throat, his long fingers wrapping around my neck.
"Cosita," he said,
warning, imbuing the word.
"I gave you an order. Settle down. I'm not going to hurt you."
"But you want to," I whispered tremulously, going utterly still. "You want to break me." His hand remained at my throat, but his other stroked my hair.
"I won't break you, but I am going to tame you."
"I don't want to be tamed. I want to go home." Tears sank into the black cloth that covered my eyes.
"You're scared," he said softly, still petting me while holding my neck in a gentle grip. "That's natural, but it will pass. You have to trust me, Samantha."
"Trust you?" I asked on a maddened laugh. It was impossible, insane.
"You will trust me. You will give me everything. Trust that I will take care of you. I will give you pain, but you don't yet understand the pleasure I can offer. Now be a good girl and don't pull against the cuffs.
Fuck you, I hissed, my terror morphing into rage. It was too intense to bear, so my mind redirected the fear into anger.
Mind your language, he rebuked.
His hand tightened around my throat. I could still breathe, but he pressed down just hard enough to restrict the blood flow to my brain. I'd trained in how to choke a man out, so I knew what was happening to me. If he squeezed too hard, I'd slip into unconsciousness, maybe even die. Just as panic began to sap my mind, he released the pressure. Blood rushed back to my head, and a strange high I'd never experienced soared through me. I let out a long sigh, and my entire body relaxed as a pleasant buzz quieted my mind. All my fear, my conflicting emotions melted away, and I floated for a few ecstatic seconds.
That's better, he praised, his fingertips skimming along the line of my vulnerable artery at my neck.
My skin felt electric beneath his touch, alive. A low moan left my chest and I arched my head back, further exposing my throat to him in mindless invitation for more.
Stay just like that, he commanded.
His touch left my throat, his heat receding as the mattress shifted beneath me. I was aware of his hands on my ankles, one after the other. He spread my legs wide and supple leather cuffs wrapped around my ankles to lock them in place. I didn't tug against the restraints this time. I lay perfectly still and relaxed, relishing the quiet in my mind. This was much preferable to unrelenting terror. Then he touched my sex, and instinctive fear surged back. My entire body jerked, but the restraints he'd used to secure me kept my body stretched out for him. He gently shushed me, continuing to lightly caress me despite my struggles.
This part will be over soon, he said,
his voice almost tender. There was something slick on his fingers, a thicker substance than my own arousal. He carefully coated my labia, his fingers dipping between them before circling around my clit. I gasped and shuddered as he teased around the tightly packed little bundle of nerves, pleasure lighting up my system despite my mounting fear. The longer his touch lingered directly on my sex, the more intense my terror grew. My entire body was shaking by the time he finally withdrew his hand, leaving a strange heat behind, as though he'd branded my sensitive flesh with his touch. It wasn't an unpleasant heat. In fact, it tingled rather than burning. I squirmed and tried to press my legs together to stop the sensation. The cuffs held my ankles fast, and I was left quivering and helpless to stop what was happening to my body.
"What are you doing to me?" I asked on a throaty whisper.
His fingers trailed beneath my breasts, spiraling upward and inward until they reached my peaked nipples. The same slick substance coated the tight buds.
"This is arousal cream," he told me. "Not that you need it to feel pleasure. You've already soaked my hand when I've spanked you. This is to help get past the fear. Soon you'll be desperate for me to touch your pretty pussy. You'll beg for me to grant you release. Need will outweigh fear. Then we can move forward with your training."
"I don't want to be trained," I protested on a whine. The same tingling had set in around my nipples, making me squirm as my body instinctively sought stimulation.
He chuckled. "Most wild things don't. And you are a wild thing, aren't you? You're innocent, untouched, but your body hungers to feel pleasure. Once we get past your fears, I suspect you'll be a very greedy girl. You'll crave my touch. You've already responded so well to your spankings. You'll learn to respond to positive reinforcement as well."
"You make it sound like I'm an animal," I forced out, trying to ignore the heat that flared between my legs. "I'm not."
"No, you're not," he agreed, a his hands skimming down my sides, tracing the slight flare of my hips.
You're a woman, but you're mine. That means you're whatever I want you to be, my plaything, my pet. Your sole purpose is to please me, to serve me. I'm your master now, and it's time you understood what that means.
But I...
Shh.
He blew a stream of cool air over my nipples as he shushed me, and my protest ended on a soft cry as the tight peaks lit up with sensation. My back arched, offering my breasts up to him. His approving rumble vibrated against my skin as he pressed his lips against the soft swells, leaving feather-light kisses in a random scorching pattern across my flesh. A strange, strangled sound left my chest, and rational thought evaporated.
"Has any man ever touched your breasts?"
he asked, before flicking his hot tongue against my tight, aching nipples. A rough shout tore from my throat, and I thrust myself toward the delicious heat of his mouth. But my cruel restraints held me in place, and he moved away to blow another torturously cold stream of air over them. I whined and writhed, acting like the wild thing he claimed I was.
"Answer me," he prompted. "Be honest, and I'll kiss your pretty pink nipples."
"No," I said, the confession leaving me in a rapid-fire stream. "Not really, not like this. I went to a convention once. I dressed up like the Dark Phoenix from X-Men, cosplay, you know? So this guy, Wolverine, I met him at an after-party. He kissed me and copped a feel, but it was over my costume, so I guess that doesn't really count, does it? I used to think so, but I..." My lust-addled speech ended on a sharp cry when his lips touched my nipple, his tongue swirling around it before flicking the peak. Keening animal sounds left me in a steady stream as he continued to stimulate my breasts, alternating between plucking at my nipples with his fingers and kissing the sting away with his soft lips. My head thrashed against the pillow, and I began to lift my hips up in wanton invitation. My core pulsed to the point of aching, my clit throbbing in time with my heartbeat. His palm rested on my belly, below my navel, and tantalizingly close to my heated sex. His fingers traced little circular patterns just above my clit, teasing.
"And your pretty little pussy," he prompted. "Has any man ever touched you here?"
"No," I whimpered, my mind too far gone to worry over confessing my most embarrassing secrets.
"Poor little virgin," he murmured. "You need to be touched, don't you?"
I want... I bit my lip, barely holding back.
"Tell your master what you want," he cajoled. "Tell me how you like to be touched. Do you put your fingers inside your tight pussy, or do you rub your little clit?"
"I don't. I can't. It's
dirty.
Wrong.
Dirty little girl."
Something awful stirred at the edges of my mind. I shied away from it. Instead, I focused on the heat that was consuming me, the tingling in my flesh, the gentle brush of Andres's fingers against my hypersensitive skin.
"You don't touch yourself?"
His deep voice was colored with surprise.
"You've never made yourself come."
No. Shame made my cheeks flame, but the heat in my sex kept me distracted. I couldn't see, couldn't think. All I could do was feel and listen to Andres's lilting voice as he asked me the most devious questions.
"So you've never had an orgasm at all?"
I shook my head and tried to lift my hips again, but his palm on my belly kept me pinned down.
"Then let me show you what your body is capable of," he said, the words distorted by his hungry growl. "In the future, you will beg me for this."
His hand finally shifted down to where I craved it most. One thick finger parted my wet folds, and my entire body tightened as he slowly slid it inside my channel. He felt huge as my inner muscles gripped him, torn between welcoming him in and pushing him out. Emotion swelled along with sensation, fear and pleasure crackling through my system. A harsh sob tore from my chest, and my tears wet the blindfold. "Too much," I gasped out, twisting against my restraints. "It's too much, please."
"Don't fight it,"
he commanded, finding a secret spot at the front of my inner walls. He crooked his finger against it. At the same time, he brought his thumb down on my clit and rubbed in a demanding rhythm.
"Come for me, Sirenita."
Pleasure lit up my entire being, tearing through me with the force of a tidal wave. A raw scream echoed through the room as all my muscles tensed and shook. Bliss racked my body, my mind. The world fell away, as unrelenting bliss sang through my veins, sweeping away my lingering fear. All that existed was Andres. His touch, his scent, his power. He'd wrung this unknown ecstasy from my soul, ruthlessly subjugating my being with earth-shattering pleasure. My sex tingled as he continued stroking me. Little lightning strikes of residual pleasure tormented me, making me tremble. I fully surrendered to sensation and sank back against the mattress, utterly sated and thoroughly conquered. Chapter 7. Andres pressed tender kisses against my slightly sore wrists when he removed the handcuffs that kept me bound to the bed. I didn't move once I was free, and I didn't stir when he unlocked the collar from around my neck. My eyes remained closed when he unknotted the blindfold. I wasn't ready to face reality yet. I continued floating in quiet bliss as he unbuckled the cuffs around my ankles and carefully lifted my body up into his strong arms. He cradled me against his chest as he carried me, taking long, sure strides toward an unknown destination. I remained carefully cocooned in warm darkness, clinging to pleasure, so I didn't have to face the horror of my defeat. I noted that his chest was bare against my skin, his dusting of dark hair tickling my cheek. He must have removed his clothes while I lay boneless and mindless in my post-orgasmic haze. The world tilted, and my eyes fluttered open when my feet touched cool tiles. I watched with detached interest as Andres reached around me and turned the knob for the shower. Water sprayed from every direction, multiple shower heads raining down. It seemed awfully decadent compared to my low water pressure single shower head set up at my shabby townhouse. My heart squeezed, and I quickly smothered my thoughts before they could start firing again. I didn't want to think about my townhouse, about how far I was from home, even though I was located just across town. I might as well be on another planet. Andres gripped my hips and guided me into the glass-fronted shower stall. The water was uncomfortably hot, and my pale skin turned pink almost instantly. He seemed to notice everything about my body, so he immediately turned the temperature to something more bearable. He stayed positioned behind me, and I was grateful for that. If I didn't have to look at him, I didn't have to process the fact that he was fully naked in the shower with me. I'd felt his erection, and that had been terrifying enough. He didn't allow me much of a reprieve. His hands closed around my waist, pulling my body back against his, so I could feel his hard length pressing into my ass. I tried and failed to swallow a whimper as some of my fear resurfaced, despite my best efforts to remain lost in lingering pleasure.
"You're still afraid of my cock,"
he surmised, but he didn't move away at the sound of my distress.
"But you're not afraid when I touch you anymore, are you?"
To prove his point, he pumped soap into his hand from a dispenser on the wall, before returning his touch to my breasts. He massaged them gently, and I moaned as his slick palms grazed my nipples. They were still tender from the arousal cream, and he made sure to tease the tight buds as he washed away the substance that lingered on my skin. My flesh tingled, but not as intensely as it had when he first applied the cream. One hand skimmed down my belly to carefully wash my sex, his other remaining at my breasts to play with my nipples. I shuddered and leaned back against him for support as pleasure flooded my body again, the tension at my core building.
"You are a greedy girl," he said, his voice heavy with satisfaction. "I knew you'd be like this. But you don't deserve a reward. Not yet."
A humiliating whine slipped through my lips when he stopped touching me intimately. He grasped my shoulders and turned me to face him. My eyes darted around the bathroom, avoiding looking at his imposing body. He caught my chin between his thumb and forefinger, lifting my face to his. I made the mistake of glancing up and found myself trapped in his steady black stare.
"You don't like looking at me," he said, an acknowledgement of fact. "My scars frighten you."
"It's not that," I admitted, the words tumbling out of me in my nervousness. "I mean, you're scary, but your scars aren't why you scare me. Well, kind of, because they mean you're violent. But this is just a tic I have. I don't really like looking at anyone. I have to for work. Sometimes it takes effort. It makes me uncomfortable. I mean..." I finally managed to end my rambling confession. Why was I telling him all this? Because I babbled when I was nervous, that's why, especially around alpha males, and especially when they turned their full, potent attention on me to impose their will. I did it with Jason, and I definitely did it with Dex. I could barely look at my best friend under normal circumstances, even when I didn't have a reason to be intimidated. I was always nervous around him, in that butterflies-in-my-stomach kind of way. Not the way Andres made me nervous. Nervous wasn't an intense enough word to express the enormity of what he made me feel. It was why I couldn't look away once he captured me in his dark gaze. I never maintained eye contact with anyone like I did with him. He didn't give me a choice in the matter. He considered me for a long, tense moment, his jaw tight.
"Would it make you more comfortable if I told you I didn't get these scars in a fight?"
I blinked at him. "What?" That didn't make any sense. "Then how..."
"That's enough questions."
He cut me off.
"I am a violent man, but I won't harm you. I'll never let anyone harm you. You're mine, which means you'll be protected. It also means you'll accept my touch and my cock. Look at me."
When he said it this time, I knew he wasn't ordering me to look him in the eye.
"All of me,"
he prompted when I hesitated.
"Now, Cosita."
The last was dark with warning, and my eyes flicked down his body before I could contemplate further defiance. Once my gaze landed on his cock, I couldn't look away. I might not have been with a man in real life, but I watched porn. And despite his scarred body, Andres could have starred in some of the most depraved videos I'd seen. He was huge, long and thick. His cockhead was purple with arousal. An effeminate part of me marveled that this reaction was for me.
"Touch me,"
he bit out, his control slipping. I gasped when his cock bobbed, straining toward me. I reached out and tentatively brushed my fingertips along his shaft. His skin was soft and smooth, but he was hard beneath my touch. He hissed in a sharp breath, and I felt him pulse under my fingers. I stared in fascination. I was doing this to him, affecting him the way he'd affected me. A strange sense of heady power teased at the corners of my mind, and I struggled to resist the perverted satisfaction. I shouldn't enjoy my captor's lustful reaction to me, but it was undeniable that my body instinctively reacted to him, so the knowledge that the balance of power wasn't entirely stacked against me gave me some courage. I wrapped my hand around his length and stroked him from base to head.
"Good girl,"
he said, his voice more ragged than I'd ever heard it. He was at the edge of his control. I wanted to push him over that edge, to break him the way he'd broken me. He reached between us with his soap-slicked hand and applied a liberal amount. When I slid my fist back, it glided across his flesh and he groaned.
Do you know how hard it is watching you touch me?
He ground out, knowing I'm the first man you've touched, the only man you will ever touch. Your first and only, my sweet virgin. A bead of moisture formed on his cockhead, quickly washed away by the cascading warm water. Emboldened by his words, I used my free hand to cup his balls, gently exploring their shape and weight. He rasped out something in Spanish that I suspected was a very dirty word. A sly smile tugged at the corners of my lips, and I struggled to smother it. He was coming apart beneath my touch, losing control. The heady sense of power that I'd been resisting finally settled over me, and I handled his shaft with greater confidence.
Naughty gatita, he said hoarsely.
His hand fisted in my wet hair, tugging hard enough to make my scalp light up with awareness.
Very naughty.
He cursed again, and his grip on my coppery strands increased to the edge of pain. It only served to spur me on.
Make me come, Sirenita,
he ordered in an obvious effort to take back control with command. But the way he pumped his hips toward me to increase my pace let me know who truly held the power in this moment. He came apart on a harsh shout, his hot seed lashing out to coat my stomach, the heat of it lingering on my flesh, even as the water washed it away. His body pressed against mine, backing me up to the tiled wall as he braced his hands against either side of me. He leaned his forehead against mine, breathing hard.
That's enough, he said with a shudder.
I finally moved my hand away, satisfied at the sight of his undoing. A sharp grin suddenly lit his features.
Time for your reward, gatita.
What? I asked, disconcerted by his jovial mood. I'd expected his anger at being broken under my inexperienced hands, maybe even shame.
Good girls get positive reinforcement.
He tenderly stroked my cheek.
Remember, my pet?
He leaned in so his hot breath played across my neck as he whispered in my ear.
Your master is training you to please him. You did very well. You've earned a reward.
No, I said, shaken. How had this turned against me? I'd been riding high, triumphant. He twisted my victory into yet another defeat.
You don't get to refuse, pet.
I'm not your pet.
Aren't you? You wanted to act like a naughty gatita. You will be tamed, Samantha.
I won't.
Your little pussy wouldn't get so wet for me if you didn't want this. You wouldn't have come so hard while you were bound and at my mercy.
That's so fucked up. You're... His hand clamped over my mouth, his long fingers pressing into my cheek almost to the point of pain.
We're going to have to work on that tongue of yours. I have a pretty gag that I think will suit you well until you can learn to mind your language when you speak to me.
My eyes flew wide, and I tried to shake my head. His hand firmed on my face, stilling the sign of my denial.
Hush now, gatita. It's time for your reward.
I brought my hands up and wrapped them around his forearm, clawing at his flesh with my fingernails in an attempt to free my mouth from his cruel hold. He growled and released me, but only long enough so he could roughly turn my body to face the wall. His weight pressed against my back, pushing my breasts hard against the cold tiles. I yelped and tried to push back, but my hand slipped uselessly against the slick wall. He wrapped one hand around my throat, squeezing. This time he applied enough pressure to restrict my airflow. I thrashed on wild instinct, but his weight kept me pinned and powerless. Please, I tried to beg him to release me, but the word couldn't make it past his hold on my throat, and a strangled sound emerged instead.
Breathe, cosita,
he urged, not letting up. I barely managed to suck in shallow breaths. My head began to spin, and I stopped fighting as the strength seeped out of my body. His free hand dipped between my legs, gathering up the slick arousal that inexplicably coated my inner thighs. He moved his touch farther back, trailing his slick forefinger over a sensitive patch of skin between my sex and asshole. Then,
no.
My lips formed the word, but I wasn't capable of wasting any air to make a sound of protest. His finger pressed against my tight ring of muscles. I clenched, resisting. He nipped at my earlobe, and the little jolt of pain sizzled through me, reaching my core and making it throb. As it contracted, his finger slipped inside me. He barely penetrated me, but I felt horribly full and utterly trapped. My knees began to tremble as I continued to struggle for oxygen.
"Are you sorry for scratching me?"
he asked calmly, as though he wasn't degrading me in a way I'd never wanted to experience. I managed a thin whine and nodded slightly. He kissed the hollow beneath my ear.
"Good girl. Don't do it again."
He pressed forward, sealing the rebuke by sliding his long finger all the way inside me. My muscles rippled around him, burning as my body tried to resist the intrusion. Something dark stirred low in my belly, tension coiling at my core. He finally released my throat, and I gasped in a desperate breath. The rush of oxygen went straight to my head, and the world spun around me. Remaining seated deep inside my most forbidden area, he caught my falling weight with his other strong arm around my waist. I sagged back against him, sucking in air. His hand splayed beneath my bottom, bracing me as a second finger found my wet channel. He eased inside my sex, and I could feel him filling me everywhere. It was too much to bear, too humiliating, too stimulating. Rational thought had been obliterated in the wake of the primal imperative to breathe, to survive. My body could only shake and submit to what he was doing to me. All my sensitive nerve endings lit up, and the tension that had been coiling deep inside me released, leaving me on a ragged shout. My muscles clenched around his fingers as I found shameful ecstasy under his ruthless touch. He gently pumped in and out of me, making my nerve endings crackle and dance. Sparks of pleasure raced up my spine to flood my mind, overwhelming all my senses. The spinning world flickered around me, darkness sliding across my vision. I surrendered to it, closing my eyes as he continued to hold my weakened body upright. His fingers finally slid out of me, leaving me feeling strangely empty, hollowed out, and utterly defeated. The water stopped falling around us, and he lifted me up in his arms again as though I weighed nothing. He was so strong, so hard and unyielding. A fine tremor raced through my exhausted body, the only movement I was capable of. He wrapped a warm, fluffy towel around me. I snuggled into it, hiding my face between the soft fabric and his sculpted chest, as though I could simply sink into the warmth and disappear. Anything would be preferable to facing the shame of what he'd just done to me. I'd thought I'd regained some power over him when I'd made him come, but he'd quickly demonstrated how powerless I truly was. His punitive touch had brought me pleasure, pleasure I hadn't wanted, but had been wrought from my body by his masterful hands regardless of my wishes. He'd claimed he wasn't going to break me. But in that moment, I felt completely shattered. Chapter 8. Andres carefully dried my body, rubbing the soft towel over every inch of my sensitized skin. My nipples and sex ached, and my bottom burned slightly, a constant cruel reminder of how he'd subjugated my entire being. When he was satisfied that I was dry, something tugged at my damp hair. I registered the rhythmic pull of brush bristles through my hair, massaging my scalp. It made my head tingle, a pleasant sensation I tried to deny. "I'm not a doll," I mumbled,
keeping my eyes closed to avoid facing reality. I remained still and compliant where he'd placed me in his lap. I couldn't muster up the will to fight. He mused, continuing to run the brush through my hair in methodical strokes.
You're not a pet. You're not a doll. Is there anything you do want to be, Sirenita?
What does that mean? I asked instead of answering his question. He was teasing me, and I refused to rise to it. If I did, he'd likely devise another devious way to prove to me that I would be whatever he wanted me to be.
A literal translation would be Little Mermaid, he said.
I finally opened my eyes to study his face. Was he mocking me? You mean like the Disney princess? I asked.
He chuckled. It's an endearment. It means I find you beautiful.
He traced the line of my lower lip with his thumb.
Sensual.
I blinked at him. No one had ever called me beautiful, and definitely not sensual. I was the awkward geek who was barely worth noticing, unless it was to make fun of me.
You don't believe me, he said, reading my confusion. Do you think my cock would get so hard for you if I didn't want you? You are lovely, Sirenita.
You're trying to manipulate me, I accused, not quite believing him. Maybe he got turned on by dominating women, and my physical appearance had nothing to do with it. That made much more sense. It won't work.
It already is working. I am not lying when I say I find you beautiful. But everything I do to you is a manipulation, and I won't pretend otherwise. You're being very sweet and well-behaved right now. If I'd known how obedient you'd become when I played with your ass, I would have felt it sooner. You came so hard for me, I thought you were going to pass out. I think you enjoy being manipulated, being shaped into my good girl.
I scowled at him. You're a bastard.
That might be true, but you will learn to speak to me with respect. There's a consequence coming for that. But right now you need to eat.
I almost said I wasn't hungry, the urge to defy him automatic. But my stomach was very aware that I hadn't eaten in over 24 hours. I still didn't know what time it was, but it was now dark outside. That meant I hadn't eaten since dinner the night before, because I hadn't trusted the breakfast Andres had sent up for me. Okay, I agreed, trying to sound resentful and failing. I was far too hungry. Now that I'd finally opened my eyes, I noted that Andres was seated on the edge of the bed, with me perched on his lap. He reached around me and tugged at the small food cart. A silver dome covered the plate, and when he removed it, I realized that my wasted breakfast had been removed and replaced with a mouth-watering steak. My cheeks heated, even as my stomach growled. That meant someone had come into the bedroom while we were in the shower. Had they heard my lustful scream? I didn't have much time to worry over it, because my basic needs were too insistent. A jug of water sat on the cart between two empty glasses. I reached for it and filled one, immediately gulping it down.
You didn't drink anything today either?
Andres asked, his voice heavy with disapproval. I thought you might drug me again, I reminded him.
And you believe I won't now?
I shrugged. I figured that steak is huge enough for two people. There are two glasses, one water jug, so I'm assuming that you're not going to drug yourself, too, you know? I poured another glass and drank half of it before moving to pick up the utensils. I was so famished, all I could think about was cutting into the steak and getting some food in my system. No wonder I'd been so weak in my attempts to fight my captor. He caught my hand before I could touch the silverware and guided it back to my lap. He also took the water glass from me and set it down beside the plate.
Do you really think I'm going to let you handle a fork and knife?
He asked dryly. I glowered at him. I just want some fucking food. I'm starving. He frowned, his scar deepening to a disapproving slash.
I will train your tongue later, he warned. And I'm sure you're hungry, which is more pressing than your punishment. I will always see to your well-being, Samantha, but don't continue to test me.
I wasn't going to use the knife on you, I said honestly. I just want to eat.
I'm going to take care of you, Cosita. Trust me.
I snorted. You're not really giving me a choice. Is it trust if you don't have a choice? Probably not. No, I don't think it is. Nope, definitely not.
He studied me for a moment, something like a smile tugging at the corners of his lips.
Do you always speak this way?
What way?
You talk very fast, like you're speaking every thought that comes into your head as it comes to you. Are you doing it because you're nervous around me? Is this the same as why you don't like looking at people?
I mean, I guess, I admitted. But I don't talk like this because I'm nervous. Well, I guess it's worse when I'm nervous. I just have a lot of thoughts, and they kind of pop out, like you said. My brain is really busy all the time. Like, my thoughts never slow down. I can't focus on only one thing at a time unless it's really challenging.
You focus on me quite intently, he said, grinning with smug satisfaction. Does that mean you find me challenging?
It means I find you terrifying, I shot back, but there was less malice in my tone than I'd intended. There was something odd about speaking to him so earnestly. I'd never been able to hold back vocalizing my thoughts when pressed by a domineering male. But this was different. I didn't feel particularly nervous at the moment. I was too concerned with my need to eat, and Andres's arms were relaxed around me. He wasn't threatening me. At the moment. He laughed.
Such a feisty gatita. You're not terrified, not like you should be. Then again, I suppose I haven't shown you what I'm fully capable of yet.
His smile somehow seemed to show all of his teeth, and I shrank back a little. That just made him laugh again, a sound of pure, arrogant amusement.
I promised to feed you, and it's getting cold.
He effectively ended the disconcerting conversation. His arms surrounded me on either side as he reached forward and picked up the knife and fork. He cut the steak into several small pieces, then shifted the utensils into one fist. I supposed he was smart not to set them down where I could reach them, but I really was too hungry and weak to try to stab him at the moment. He picked up a piece of steak between his fingers and lifted it to my lips. I looked up at him, confused.
What are you doing?
Feeding my pet.
He was still smiling, but something darker stirred in his black stare.
Aren't you hungry, gatita?
I blew out a sigh. Fine, but only because I'm hungry, not because I'm your pet.
Can't you be both?
No.
He chuckled, but he didn't argue with me again.
Eat.
Too hungry to continue resisting, I parted my lips and reached for the morsel with my tongue. I probably should have bitten him just for being a bastard, but I really wanted to eat. Besides, he'd mentioned another punishment and warned me not to test him. Biting him probably counted as worse than testing. As soon as the steak hit my tongue, rich flavors exploded in my mouth, and a soft moan of appreciation left my chest. I loved a good steak. And this one was cooked to perfection. I wrapped my lips around his fingers without thinking, sucking the juices from them as I sought more of the delicious flavor.
You like carne asada?
He asked, his voice rougher than the simple question should have called for. I pulled back from his fingers and they left my mouth with a small pop.
I like meat, I said, all kinds of meat. If it used to moo, I'll definitely eat it. This is so good. I want more.
Greedy and savage,
he remarked, his voice lilting with laughter.
You can have as much as you want.
I'm not savage, I grumbled. I couldn't even kill you properly.
No, you couldn't,
he said calmly, obviously remembering my pathetic attempt to attack him with his razor.
I don't think you have it in you. That doesn't mean I'll give you access to a knife anytime soon, though.
I'm a trained field agent, I said, feeling defensive, mostly because I should have been capable of fighting him more effectively than I managed so far.
Not a very good one.
He said it like a simple observation, not an insult. And honestly, was it an insult if it was the truth? I shouldn't have transferred from tech analyst, I lamented aloud. If I hadn't tried to go into the field, I wouldn't be in this shitty situation.
Probably not, he agreed. My brother has his own tech team. They looked into you. By all accounts, they were very impressed. Is why Christian let you leave.
Because he wants me to protect him from the FBI, I said glumly. He wants me to save his miserable life. I tensed, suddenly worried that Andres might not take kindly to me insulting his brother.
He does, he responded in a monotone.
I couldn't read any particular emotion in it.
And you will. It's my job to make sure you do. You won't do it for Christian, but for me. I want you to stop thinking about my brother and start thinking about pleasing me. And you can start by finishing your meal.
You're the one who insists on feeding me one tiny piece at a time, I complained.
If you'd stop sassing me, this would go faster, he drawled.
I narrowed my eyes at him to communicate my lingering displeasure with the entire weird scenario. But I allowed him to continue feeding me. I ended up eating well over half the steak before he actually used a freaking fork to deliver mouthfuls of the most delicious seasoned rice I'd ever tasted. I might have felt a little guilty that I ate most of the food, but he seemed content for me to have as much as I needed. When I finally turned my face away, he ate what was left. He finished and lifted me off his lap to place me on the mattress.
Stay.
He didn't have to restrain me to ensure that I didn't follow as he wheeled the cart out of the bedroom and out into what I now assumed was a sitting room. By the time he shut the door and returned to me, I lay back on the mattress, exhaustion and a pleasant sense of finally being well fed, making me sleepy.
Go brush your teeth and wash your face, he ordered, grasping my hand and pulling me upright.
I made a little grumbling noise, which morphed to a yelp when he swatted my ass.
Go on,
he said sternly. My feet dragged across the carpet as I crossed to the bathroom. Moving seemed much harder than it should, my body aching in places I'd never imagined could feel tired and sore. I shut the bathroom door behind me and took care of my essential needs. An unopened toothbrush waited for me on the sink, as well as feminine face wash and moisturizer. I wondered when Andres had gotten these items for me, and I concluded that the boy who'd come in to clean the bathroom must have stocked the place for me. I glanced at the shower. I hadn't noticed before, but a brand new razor hung from beneath the shower head, replacing the one I'd broken this morning. You got a new razor, I said when I re-entered the bedroom, puzzled as to why he'd let me near a potential weapon again. He met me with a level stare.
And you didn't break it apart and attempt to cut my throat. I don't need to worry about you trying that again, do I?
My cheeks heated, and I dropped my gaze from his. I could still see the angry red line of the shallow cut I'd inflicted across his chest. He was covered only in the towel he'd slung around his hips after our shower, his powerful form clearly on display where he lounged on the bed. No, I admitted. My voice small with shame. I wouldn't try it again. Not because I didn't want to get spanked, but because I had to acknowledge that I truly didn't have it in me to rip open a man's throat. Besides, it had been a stupid, reckless plan anyway. Where did I think I was going to go after I took out Andres? There had to be dozens of men between me and freedom, and I didn't think they'd like it if they found me with their boss's blood on my hands.
Smart girl, he said with satisfaction. Come over here.
He stood and pulled back the covers, gesturing for me to get in. I didn't move toward him.
What are you doing? I asked.
Putting you to bed,
he said, as though this was completely normal. I'm not a little girl. I don't need you to tuck me in. A smile flitted around his lips.
Must you be so difficult about everything? You seem to love contradicting me.
He patted the mattress.
Do you want a spanking before bed? Or are you going to be a good girl for me?
I huffed out a frustrated breath and closed the distance between us. The sad reality was I was too tired to keep fighting. I'd managed to get some much-needed calories back in my system, but my mind had been sapped with terror for most of the day, not to mention the other new, intense experiences he'd forced upon me.
Only because I'm tired, I said as I slid beneath the sheets.
If that's what you need to tell yourself, he allowed. One way or another, you obeyed me, Samantha. That pleases me.
I rolled onto my side, facing away from him, and curled my knees up close to my chest in a protective position. He didn't comment on my small show of resistance. He simply pulled the covers over me and tucked me in like a child. It was weird. Fucked up. Warm and soft. And I was so tired.
Go to sleep, Sirenita.
His long fingers played through my hair, and my eyes slid closed. Without meaning to, I obeyed yet another of his commands and surrendered to my exhaustion. Chapter 9. The mattress shifted beneath me, rousing me. For a moment, I panicked. I wasn't accustomed to sleeping with anyone else. So the instinctive knowledge that I wasn't alone in my bed startled me. Then I remembered that I wasn't in my bed. I was in Andres's bed, the bed where he'd bound me and made me have my first orgasm. My cheeks colored in the darkness. Shades had been lowered over the huge windows hiding the Chicago skyline, but no light peeked around them, so I assumed it wasn't morning yet. I hated not having a fucking clock. This room was absolutely devoid of even that level of technology. I'd go mad in here without access to a computer. I'm going to get out of here, I promised myself. Maybe it wasn't likely that my friends would find me. Maybe there were dozens of men standing between me and freedom, not to mention my massive, scary captor. But that wasn't going to stop me from trying. It was nighttime. Most of the building's inhabitants would likely be asleep. That included Andres, who was snoring lightly on the other side of the massive bed. I'd awoken when he'd rolled away from me, and his arm no longer weighed me down. If I could slip out without disturbing him, I might be able to make my way out of the suite and get to the exit before he woke up. Once I was in the street, I could shout for help. I could borrow someone's phone. It occurred to me that I'd have to go out in public naked, but I couldn't risk taking time to rummage through Andres's drawers for something to cover myself. That would also make noise, and I couldn't afford that either. Naked it is, I told myself, reasoning that I'd attract help faster this way once I got out into the street, if I didn't get killed on the way out. Summoning up my courage, I carefully eased out of the bed, wincing when the mattress shifted ever so slightly beneath me. I paused, barely breathing. Andres continued to snore. I exhaled and began to tiptoe across the plush carpet, making my way toward the door that led out into the rest of the suite. I squeezed my fist open and closed a few times to stop my fingers from trembling, then carefully turned the knob. The softest snick sounded as the latch disengaged. Andres didn't stir. I slipped out the door and cracked it behind me, not daring to shut it all the way in case it thudded closed. City lights flooded the adjoining room, shining through another wall of windows. As I'd suspected, it was set up like a lavish sitting room. Finally, I spotted a clock. Of course, it was an ornate grandfather clock rather than something modern. Analog. Ugh. Still, at least I now knew it was 3:35 a.m. Hopefully everyone really was asleep at this hour. My gaze swept over the room, looking for the exit. Another closed door was set into the opposite wall from the windows. I started to make my way toward it, when the shifting lights caught on something silver. An elevator.
My way out. I raced toward it on tiptoe, trying to move silently even as I rushed to freedom. I pushed the call button, which was illuminated in blue. I nearly jumped out of my skin when a loud buzzer sounded. Fuck. I hadn't heard that sound when anyone else had come and gone from the suite. Why now? Desperate, I punched the button again, knowing I had precious seconds before Andres' strong arms closed around me. The angry buzz echoed through the suite.
It won't work for you, he drawled.
I yelped and spun, backing up until my butt hit the cold silver doors behind me. Andres stood in the doorway to the bedroom, the city lights reflecting stars across his black eyes. He didn't move toward me. The doors didn't open behind me. Desperate, I hit the call button again. Buzz. His teeth flashed white through the darkness.
That elevator is accessed through thumbprint recognition. The only people who can come and go from this suite are those who have my permission. You don't have permission, my curious gatita.
He finally began prowling toward me.
Did you want to explore my home?
He asked, the innocuous question made terrifying by the silky smooth tone of his voice.
Were you so eager to see the rest of it? I'm more than happy to show you.
I shook my head wildly. I just want to go home. I forced out past the lump in my throat. Whatever he was about to show me, I was certain it was terrible. I could read it in the hungry glint of his eyes, the sharpness of his smile. Dark anticipation pulsed around him like a palpable thing. It pressed against me, making me shudder.
This is your home now,
he said when he finally reached me. There was nowhere for me to run, nowhere to hide. All I could do was press my body back against the cold metal doors and tremble. His hand closed around the back of my neck, his fingers tangling in my hair at my nape as he pulled me against him. He was naked, and his huge cock pressed into my belly. You weren't really asleep, I accused, knowing the truth. He was toying with me, testing me. His grin sharpened.
Clever and curious, he remarked with satisfaction. No, I wasn't asleep.
He leaned in, his cheek whispering against mine as he spoke low in my ear.
You can't escape me, Samantha. There's only one way out of this penthouse, and it's barred to you. I don't have to keep you collared and chained to trap you here. I just like it. I like knowing you're naked in my bed, waiting for me.
You're sick, I said shakily. He laughed softly.
You've called me worse already. Do you really think your little insults wound me? I'm going to tame your barbed tongue because I enjoy training you, not because it's capable of hurting me. If you continue to defy me in this, the only time you'll be allowed to use your tongue is when you're worshipping my cock.
My stomach churned, fear clogging my throat. I didn't have any words anyway. What was there to say in response to such a horrible declaration?
But you wanted to see the rest of my home, he continued smoothly. Let me show you.
I don't want to, I squeaked out. Please, I'll go back to bed. He clicked his tongue at me.
The time for being a good girl has passed. You've been a curious gatita. You know what happens to curious kittens, don't you?
Curiosity killed the cat.
You said you wouldn't kill me. Your brother wants me alive.
His hand tightened around my nape.
This is about what I want, he growled. I don't want you dead. I want you crying out and begging for mercy. My mercy. Don't talk about my brother. Don't think about him. He's not your concern. I am.
Keeping his grip on my nape, Andres pulled me along in his wake, moving toward the closed door I'd noticed opposite the wall of windows. Dread settled in my gut, and my feet dragged on the carpet in token resistance. I could have clawed at him at the very least, But my body remembered the punitive feel of his finger invading my bottom, and I didn't even half formulate a plan to fight before he'd managed to drag me to the door.
Please, I begged. I don't want to go in there.
You don't even know what you're scared of, he said, his voice colored with amusement.